Turn your Bible with me to Romans chapter 12. In light of it being a living sacrifice, according to what we learned the last week, Romans 12, 1 and 2, we realize that this is the impossible order for us to fulfill without God's help. So this is where the generous gift, Holy Spirit's gift comes. And the spiritual gift have to come from Himself, no other way. Within the ranks of believers, the Lord Jesus Christ, regarding this spiritual gift, have been an ongoing problem within the believers. So long that it's not even funny. Even the non-believers poke fun of us because we are making division within our ranks. It is a shame. I say again, it is shame. What is the reason that we have so much misunderstanding and confusion for the using this precious spiritual gift? Because I believe that it all comes from the being selfish, boastful, and ignorant in the Word of God, and consequently immature in Christ. If they learn the Word of God the way Holy Spirit explained to us, we wouldn't be so immature and boastful about it. The main reason for the spiritual gift that they distribute to us by the Holy Spirit are, number one, to bring glory to Himself, to God Himself. Number two is to edify, which means to build up the body of Jesus Christ, which is the church. Two reasons only. Number one, let me say it one more time, to bring glory to God. Number two, to edify the body of Jesus Christ, to build the body of Jesus Christ. It does not say anything about individual glory. Within these premises, Apostle Paul clearly and concisely tells us about the using the word, the spiritual gift in grace with humility. I say it again, using the spiritual gift in grace with humility. I'm going to go a little further to talk about some of the spiritual gift, and why is the problem we have having some confusion there, and the proper usage of the spiritual gift this morning. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to You with an open heart to learn from You, not to have a confusion, because You are not God of a confusion, but God of order and God of clarity. We are asking You to speak to our heart. Let Your anointing be upon me and upon all the hearers, that we may understand Your truth exactly the way You intended, that we may understand and follow Your way in every way. We also pray for our president, President Bush. In the short time he remained as the President of the United States, there's many things he's facing. We're asking You to give him wisdom and obedient heart. And we lift up the President-elect Obama. First of all, we pray for his salvation and his wisdom for him to lead this country in Your way. And we are praying for our troops, their safety, and also praying for the law enforcement personnel and the firefighters around our community. We're asking You to protect them, Lord, as they protect us. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 3 of chapter 12, please. For I say that through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of a faith. I don't think that you can get any clearer than this for having the right attitude of individual spiritual evaluation. He said, do not think too highly. A lot of people think that they are spiritually mature. In what base? We have to ask. Apostle Paul is telling us not to over-evaluate ourselves, and that there is absolutely nothing wrong knowing what kinds of gift you have, and nothing wrong with what kinds of ministry you should be involved. If you are good at certain things, maybe God is leading you to be a part of that ministry. If so, do it. However, the things start to go wrong when we start to think this spiritual gift has anything to do with our own thing. Spiritual gift comes from God Himself, Holy Spirit Himself, not anyone else. As I mentioned this before, spiritual gift has everything to do with the gift giver. Gift giver, not the receiver. In His kindness and sovereign knowledge, God distributes His spiritual gift to everyone who believes in Jesus Christ. There is not one person who has not received this spiritual gift. Some people receive one, some people receive multiple spiritual gifts. We should remember that spiritual giftedness does not equal spiritual maturity. Let me say it one more time so we can understand, we can remember. Spiritual giftedness does not equal spiritual maturity. Just because you are gifted in spiritual things, that doesn't mean you are mature. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul talks about that thing, and we're going to talk about it a little later. Just because a person has a substantial spiritual gift does not mean that they are necessarily spiritually mature or worthy of imitating. Person who over-evaluates himself can cause a great deal of damage within the body of Jesus Christ. Person might say that, well, he thinks that he has a gift of teaching. As a matter of fact, the Pastor Chuck Swindoll from the Dallas is a speaker of the Insight for Living ministry. He said this, when he was attending Dallas Seminary, Theological Seminary, there was one man, one of his fellow students, who wants to be a pastor, but he just did not have the gift of teaching. And he butchered every single sermon he was trying to preach. And finally, the professor told him, "And son, you do not have the gift of teaching, so maybe you should look into some other career." And this young man said, "My mama says I have the gift of teaching." And then finally, the professor told him, "Maybe we don't have the gift of listening." You know, some people think that they have a certain gift when they don't have. That's over-evaluating himself. Those people have a tendency to looking down on other people who have a different gift. I said different gift, or I didn't say less gift. The spiritual gift we have initiated because of God's grace, and we have to accept them and exercise them by faith. We receive them by grace and exercise them with the faith. After all, we are saved by grace through faith, and so we must live and serve by grace through faith. There should be only one person who should get the glory. That's not us, that's God Himself. That's God Himself only. There are people who also under-evaluate themselves and their spiritual gift. They belittle their gift, they belittle themselves, and the gift they receive, and they do not use them. This also is a form of pride. Let me repeat it one more time. This also is a form of a pride. In other words, somebody who is arrogant has a pride. Those who think that they have a low self-esteem has a pride. And why do I say that? Because they refuse to acknowledge God's grace and let Him have the glory. You follow me? Moses was the good example of this. When God met him at the burning bush. "Moses, I want you to take lead the people out of Egypt. What did he say? Oh yeah, I'm going. I said, like, where do you want me to sign up? He didn't say it. I cannot speak. You know, so why don't you find somebody else? God went through several steps to prove that he is the man God chose. So let me say this to you. When God says yes, and when we never say no, when God says yes. You understand? Don't say no to God when he says yes. Or the other way around too. Let's go to verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members do not have some same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Here is the second reason of a spiritual gift. Each believer has a gift or gift, as I mentioned, to be used to building up the body of Jesus Christ, perfecting one another. In other words, in short, we belong to each other, we minister to each other, and we need each other. Of course, Apostle Paul talked about that in depth in 1 Corinthians. Each believer has a different gift. God has bestowed this gift so the local body can be grown in a balanced way. Balanced way. But each Christian must exercise his or her gift by faith, and we may not see the result of our ministry, but God sees it and God blesses it. You don't need to know the result of your ministry. I don't need to know the result of ministry. For example, I minister at the state prison. I didn't know how they turned out because some of the guys coming back continuously as they leave the prison and they come back. As a matter of fact, 85% of the prison inmates go back to prison. And there were time, and I heard from the friend of mine, he said, oh, so-and-so tell you this, hi. And I couldn't remember his name, and he described it, I remembered. And he was doing well. And there were another time, one guy called, and he said, by the way, this guy was in the prison for the drug dealing, and he called me one day, he said, hey, I'm going to the Colombia. I thought, oh, great. He's going to smuggle the drugs direct from the Colombia. No, he was going out there for the missionary, as a missionary. So you never know how your ministry is going to turn out. But be faithful what you're called to do. And use your gift for the glory of God. If you are not using your God-given gift, a spiritual gift, for the glory of God, you're accountable for not using them. Let me say one more time. You're accountable for not using God's gift. In the body of Jesus Christ, there should be unity, not uniformity. The difference? Uniformity is trying to make everybody like a cookie cutter and everybody same. But that's not what we need. We need unity. Many times, those who have a certain spiritual gift consider themselves spiritually superior than the others. Like a gift of teaching or a gift of speaking in tongue. It is common that those who have a gift of speaking in tongue think that they are more spiritually superior than other people. Not so. As a matter of fact, when you look at the list of the gift of spiritual gift in 1 Corinthians, it's on the eighth out of nine gifts mentioned. Apostle Paul rebuked the Corinthian believers about their arrogant and immature attitude in chapter 12 and chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians. So let's keep your finger right there, chapter 12 of Romans. Go to chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. We're going to go back and forth several times. Keep it open there. So why God, why did God speak to us about the using spiritual gift and the list of spiritual gift in chapter 12 and chapter 14? And then there is a chapter 13. We all know that chapter 13 is a love chapter. Many bride and grooms like to quote this chapter in their weddings as if it is some sort of magic spell to make their marriage going everlasting. Is it? No. When you look at it in context, remember, Bible, reading Bible, understanding Bible, everything to do with what? Context. You have to keep it in context. Chapter 12, talking about the spiritual gift. Chapter 13, talking about love. And chapter 14, talking about how to use proper administration of spiritual gift. Why is that the love chapter is right smack dab in the middle? Because we do not use spiritual gift properly. We tend to use it as some sort of boastful thing, some sort of to talk about, to brag about. So with love in the middle, when we understand love, we wouldn't do that. So when we exercise spiritual gift in grace with humility, which is love, then we can minister to one another and help one another. It's a tragic that when anyone minimizes other people's gift while he emphasizes his own gifts. This is to deny the very purpose of spiritual gift, benefiting whole body of Jesus Christ. Let's go to the verse 7 of chapter 12. Verse 7 of chapter 12 in 1 Corinthians. But the manifest of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit for all. Before I talk about the spiritual gift in this chapter, I need to make one thing very clear. Okay, everybody pay attention to me. All the spiritual gift is still active today. Okay? All the spiritual gift is still active today. I know some of the denominations says no. And Bible mentioned to us is still active. And the difference and the distribution of gift is due to the grace that is given to us. Spiritual gifts are not given on basis of merit, but because God chose to give it to them. Go down to the verse 11 of chapter 12 in 1 Corinthians. Verse 11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things in distributing to each one individually as He wills. So it is strictly up to Holy Spirit who gets what kinds of gift. Are you with me? It has nothing to do with our choice. Some people say that, well, if you want to speak in tongues, just start to make a noise. That's a bogus idea. If God chooses to give it to you, you will have it. If God chooses not to give it to you, you ain't going to have it for a million years. The ancient Greek word for the spiritual gift is charismata. Charismata. That means a gift of grace. Of course, we get the English word charisma. It's a gift of grace. It's not a gift of choice. There are several well-meaning denominations that believe that some of the spiritual gifts are no longer available since the Bible is completed. The verses they are based on comes from the chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. Let's go to chapter 13, verse 8. It says, love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are the tongues, they will cease. Whether there are the knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, verse 10 is important. But when that which is perfect has come, underline that please. Then that which is in part will be done away. Now, pay attention here, please. Virtually all commentators and the Greek scholars agree that this word perfect is when we are in the presence of a perfect one, Jesus Christ, in eternity. It's not Bible, because in context, it does not make sense. Why? Because let me tell you this. The Greek word for this perfect is teleos. When you look at the word telos in used in other portion in the Bible, especially in the New Testament, you see the end of the time and Jesus. The word telos is translated as end or the finished, the last, and here perfect. Our English has a problem with the translation. It's not the Greek word that has a problem. For example, when you go to the 1 Corinthians 1:8 and 15:24, James 5:11, Revelation 25 and the verse 7, chapter 21 verse 6 and chapter 22 verse 13, when you go look at those words in Greek word, you will see teleos and have everything to do with the presence of Jesus Christ, not Bible. Don't trust me. Don't just say, well, Pastor Juno said it, so it must be true. I want you to go look at the Greek word. If you have a Bible software, you can go there. And if you don't have Bible software, I want you to go to the website called blueletterbible.org. blueletterbible.org. And go to the 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8 through 10, and click the word. Concordance there, and you click that, and it will show you the Greek word. And you go through the bunch of all these verses, and you look at it by yourself, and you can tell in context is Jesus Christ, not Bible. You follow me? Search for yourself. In my opinion, the reason why some of the denomination goes to the other side of the spectrum is because some of this the charismatic and Pentecostal denominations abuse the spiritual gift, so they just go into the other side of the spectrum. And they are missing out so many spiritual gifts because that. It's extremely important to keep the Bible balanced according to Bible. In other words, we believe all the spiritual gifts are available as the Holy Spirit dispenses them to us. At the same time, we should not abuse the spiritual gift or boast them about as if they are our own. You follow? Don't abuse spiritual gift. So what would happen if the person, one of you guys, stand up in this service and start speaking in tongues? I have a security person down there to take you out to the desert. No, just kidding. I won't do that. If you speaking in tongues, we will listen. And we will wait for the interpretation of tongue. If there is no interpretation of tongue that you just spoke, we will ignore what you just said. Because that's according to chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians. And we'll just move on. Because if it is truly from God, if it's truly from God, there will be interpretation to follow. And there better not be anything saying that thus says the Lord. Let me tell you why. Thus says the Lord, that is typically prophecy, correct? You with me? Thus says the Lord is coming from think about the direction. God speaking to man. Prophecy, that is a prophecy's direction. But speaking in tongue is different. We speaking to God. The direction is like this. So, when somebody, I'm sure you've heard that before, one person speaking in tongue and another person says, thus says the Lord, and it goes on with the whatever. That is not an interpretation, that's a prophecy. So you cannot consider that as an interpretation. Go to 27 of chapter 14, 1 Corinthians, please. here's a limitation. I'm sure you went to this church. Oh, I'm going to talk about that a little later. Let's read that portion first. Verse 27, if anyone speaking in tongue, let there be, chapter 14, verse 27, let there be two or at the most three, each in turn, not all together at the same time, let one interpret. If there is no interpretation, let him keep silent in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. So in a public setting, if somebody is speaking in tongue, we will listen and we will wait for the interpretation. Keep your finger again there and go to the Acts chapter 2, please. Right before Romans. Acts chapter 2, verse 11. Here's the day of Pentecost and the people started speaking in tongue. And in this case, different language. And we read, Cretan and Arab, we hear them speak in our own tongue the wonderful works of God. That's the content of tongue. The wonderful works of God. Praising God for His wonderful work. So when you speak in tongue, that is praising God with unknown language. It can be another human language or it can be heavenly language. In my 20 years in the Lord, I've seen many incidents in the church during the service. People started speaking in tongues all over. That's out of order. That's the abuse of this spiritual gift. And one person speaking in tongues and there is an so-called interpretation and it says, "Thus says the Lord." That's not an interpretation. If the interpretation comes with, we praise you because you are awesome, so it goes on and on. That is a proper interpretation. So many insist that they've been doing this in their denomination all these years, so we are continuing. Let me ask you this. You've been doing it this way, and the Bible says, no, that's not the right way. This is the way. What would you do? Would you continue in your denominational way or would you change it from the wrong way to the right way? Change it. Let's go back to the chapter 12 of Romans, verse 6. Having the gift of differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophesy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Paul mentioned seven gifts here, and he did not go to exhaust the list of the gift of a spiritual gift. Rather, he's urging us to exercise what we already have properly. He begins with the prophecy. There are two types of prophecy. Number one is a foretelling prophecy, which is talking about a future event. Second one is a foretelling with the wisdom and insight of the scripture. Let me give you an explanation. Foretelling ministry, the Apostle Paul is talking about both, by the way, here. The foretelling ministry is giving us the guidance and the warning. It might be literally pointing out to somebody, if you continue in that thing, you're going to be dead. Yeah, that's a warning. That's the guidance. And the foretelling is using the Bible verses, using the scripture to give you the insight, to give you the wisdom. Sometimes the pulpit prophecy is known as a foretelling prophecy. That means while I'm speaking to you, you understand, that applies to my life. I don't know anything about your life and your situation, but God's speaking to you. That's a foretelling prophecy ministry. The person with the gift of exhortation, it means guide. Exhortation means guide and advise and encourage. Must use this gift to guide, advise, and encourage one another within the parameter of the Bible under the direction of the Holy Spirit. I said within the parameter. It's very important. Notice the scripture says also the third gift is that he who gives with liberality. It does not say he who has a lot of money give with liberality. See, if God gave you the gift of giving, he will also provide you with what you need to give. Even if you don't have a whole lot, God might give you a little thing extra and you can pass it on. That means you become a channel of blessing to others. Channel to the others. The person who received the gift of leadership must lead with diligence because it's easy for the leaders to be discouraged. Ask me about it. I go through discouragement like a daily routine. Weekly routine. Sometimes I get so discouraged I'm on the ground and somebody has to scoop me up with a putty knife. So we have to, those who are leading need to persevere and with the diligence. If you receive the gift of mercy from the Holy Spirit, you must extend the mercy with a cheerfulness. It's already hard to extend the mercy to somebody. That means that person did wrong to you, and you have to extend the mercy, and that means it's almost impossible, and it requires supernatural effort. That God, just as God extended his mercy toward us while we are still yet sinners. Remember the William Arthur Ward, who is the author of the fine book, The Thoughts of a Christian Optimist. He says, we are most like a beast when we kill. We are most like a human when we judge. We are most like God when we forgive. We'll make two applications. Number one, spiritual gifts are the tool to build with, not to toy to play with, or weapon to fight with. We should not emphasize our spiritual gift that might lose the real reason for them, but emphasize how to use. Second application, rather than getting excited about the spiritual gift itself, let's get excited about gift giver. Okay? Gift giver, not gift. Let's stand up and pray. Okay. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word. I hope our congregation receive your word, the truth, in balance, and seeking your truth continuously, and most of all, obedient to you. Let us use your spiritual gift that you've given to us for your glory alone. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.